May I speak in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. A verse from our New Testament reading from Romans. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yesterday, I returned from a two-week caravanning holiday to Scotland, and it's really good to be back. On holiday, I was reading some of the Poldark novels by Winston Graham and came across a conversation which is pertinent to the theme of this sermon. The scene is the christening of Ross and Imelda's first baby, Julia, at which both sides of their family collide, the gentlefolk and the working classes. Tom Kahn, Demelza's father, meets a group of Ross's relatives and says, "One of ye be the Chiel's godfather?" Francis, that's Ross's cousin, bowed slightly. "I am." Tom Kahn stared at him. "By what right do ye stand for the Chiel at the seat of righteousness?" Francis felt indulgent. "Because I was so invited." "Invited?" said Kahn. "Aye, maybe you were invited, but are ye saved?" "Saved?" "Aye, saved." "Saved from what?" "From the devil and damnation." "I haven't had any communication on that point." "Well, that's where you're at fault, mister. Them as has paid no heed to God's call has no doubt hearkened to the devil's. There's no betwixt and between. 'Tis heaven and all the angels, or hellfire and the brimstone pit." Being saved is a common theme to both our New Testament and Gospel readings this morning. Paul writes the verse which I quoted at the beginning. And in Matthew's Gospel, Peter was saved from drowning by Jesus when he tried walking on water. But the question that has been in my mind a while now, in fact, since the terrorist attack here, is saved from what? Are we only saved from eternal damnation, from an afterlife of hell, as Demelza's father thinks? The distinctiveness of the concept of being saved within Christianity is, of course, all tied up with the person of Jesus Christ and in what he has done for humanity through his life, death, and resurrection. But what is it that Jesus did for us on the cross? Here are three interpretations which help us. First, Jesus' death on the cross was a sacrifice offered to God. Jesus' sacrificial offering was an effective and perfect sacrifice, which was able to accomplish all that the sacrifices of the Old Testament were only able to imitate rather than achieve. As sacrifices were offered to atone for the sin of the people, Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for the sin of the whole of humanity. We were therefore restored to relationship with God. We are saved from the effects of sin, which separate us from living in harmony with God. Jesus has fulfilled the requirement demanded by God that satisfies the need for a sacrifice. Second, that Jesus won a victory over the devil. That Jesus has won a victory is often linked with our Easter celebrations. Christ's death is a ransom for sinners, paid to the devil, over which he has victory. After his death, Jesus went to hell to release souls before he was raised from the dead. The growing realization during the 20th century of the role of evil in our world made this idea very relevant. We are saved from the effects of evil and can know a victory over inauthentic experience and unbelief because of what Christ has achieved for us. And thirdly, through the cross, God offers us forgiveness. The doctrine of original sin developed by Augustine describes the role of human sinfulness in relation to our relationship with God. Sin made us unable to obey God as he originally intended. It was then defined as an offence against God, who demanded that it be satisfactorily dealt with. Therefore, Christ took our place on the cross as a substitution for ourselves. He went there instead of us. We are forgiven for disobeying God and saved from the implications of humanity's sin against God. All three of these ideas have at their heart the restoration of humanity's broken relationship with God, so that we can live the sort of life God intends us to lead in full relationship with God and other people. The role of faith in Jesus Christ is important. In our gospel reading, Peter was saved from drowning by Jesus. Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." How many times have we ourselves cried this to God? Jesus replied to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And Paul describes the role of faith in his letter to the Romans. Righteousness comes from faith. The word is near to us, on our lips and in our heart, because we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. Faith in Jesus Christ is important. We cannot be saved without it. So by this faith, we are saved from a life of not knowing God, of not having a relationship with God and the implications of that. It's not just being saved from a hell after life. We could know hell now. In the words of Rowan Williams, "Godlessness is the fate of human beings left to themselves." We are saved in order to know life in all its fullness, to know victory over an inauthentic existence. And because we have been given the Holy Spirit as a down payment of heaven, eternal life begins now. I've always loved that Oxfam strapline that says, "We believe in life before death." If we live a life in relationship with God, our Creator, enabled by the work of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, we can know life before death. It's not just choosing between heaven and hell in the afterlife. It's about choosing eternal life now. Do we need saving from ourselves, from our sin, of all that prevents us knowing God? If so, we can ask to be saved again this morning. Amen.